Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio. Good to have you with us, Jim Masters here. Our very special guest today, Carol Kelly, an organization development consultant and certified executive coach and keynote speaker who specializes in change and transition. She's been doing this for three decades, and she has helped develop individuals and really helped teams, individuals, and organizations successfully navigate the people side of change and achieve results they never thought possible. Kelly says, navigation of change is about three R's: resistance, resilience, and resurgence. Carol says that change can be the beauty or the beast, a threat or an opportunity. It really is all how you look at it. Depends on the lens that you're looking through. Unlike many consultants and coaches, she gets to the root cause of her clients' problems and empowers them to embrace change and leverage it for all it's worth. She says the key to leveraging change is through masterful leadership. Employees are often promoted into executive positions based on their skills, but what got them where they are won't necessarily get them to the next level. Whether she's consulting, coaching, or speaking, Carol Kelly's ultimate goal is to make clients masterful leaders. And in these changing times, leaders need to be not just good or great, but masterful. She's very passionate about developing masterful leaders. Her website is Distinct Solutions, and you can find more about Carol Kelly and her company and all the wonderful work that she does at www.distinctsolutionsctc.com. We're very excited and honored to welcome Carol Kelly to our show from Distinct Solutions. Carol, it's a joy and an honor and a pleasure to have you with us, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You are very, very welcome. When you look back in your life, you and I were chatting before we went live on the air about some of the things that inspire us to do the things that we do in life, the fields of endeavor, the careers, the things we do when we roll up our sleeves and jump into life with exuberance and thirst and wide-eyed and wanting to help and make change, because you are really like a change agent for people, helping them navigate the world of change, which is constant and daily and unpredictable. When you look back at your own experience, Carol, what are some things you think that might have been trigger points for you that pointed you, maybe some inspirational moments that pointed you and empowered you into doing the work you're doing, helping others?
Well, really, as I was telling you, that this walk in life or my journey started when I was in corporate America working, and it's almost as if this chose me, this found me rather than me seeking it. I found myself in a situation where a lot of the clients, the internal clients, needed some guidance, some coaching, some support, some training, whatever. And I found my colleagues and my leaders and my managers deferring to me to go out and work with people through change and transition, because change brings disruption. And disruption usually triggers anxiety and chaos and confusion and uncertainty. And so I found myself going out and working with individuals, teams, and groups, and helping them to navigate their way through that. And I found a lot of satisfaction and gratification in it. I just fell into it. It was like an old shoe that you've worn for years and years, and it's all broken in, and they're very comfortable. And as it turns out, it's more like a calling for me. It's my life's work. And that really inspired me to do this. And then I started following some of the people who are in this industry and in this business. And I found it to be very gratifying work. And for three decades, I've been doing this now. And I still find it just as gratifying today as when I started.
So then you've created Distinct Solutions. What was your vision? What was the idea of Distinct Solutions, and what did you want to offer? Was there a void that you saw, or are there just a different perspective you wanted to offer? Tell us about that, the creation of the company.
Well, thank you. Distinct Solutions, I thought very hard about the branding and the name and whatever, and what do I bring in? What is my unique value proposition? What is it that I might do differently from most of my colleagues? And I found, and I look back over the things that I used to do and things that I came up with myself as a result of looking at all of the problems that I was faced with in working with my clients. And that's why I decided to call it Distinct Solutions. Why Distinct Solutions? Because I take a contrarian view of some things, number one. Number two, I like to get to the root cause of the client's problems. Not just the symptoms, but to get to the root of it, from both internally and externally, and help them to discover what the issues are and to promote their own self-discovery, and also to turn their chaos into order and their pain into power. And so I found that I was a bit different. I'm a hybrid, because not only do I work with people from their external environment, I also work with people internally to help them to establish and identify their blind spots, to see what they weren't seeing, to know what they didn't know. And because of this, I've found people saying to me that the work that they did with me changed their life. They've had life-changing experiences. And number two, when I walk away, I want to leave the people whole. My job is to work myself out of a job with that particular client. I want them to be able to sustain whatever it is I help them to do, rather than something that motivation and techniques and strategies and tips that only work for 2 or 3 months and then people go right back into their old behavior. No, I want it to affect life-changing experiences. And that's why I named myself and branded myself Distinct Solutions. That's one of the reasons.
So tell us about your clients, Carol. Are they individuals, organizations? Is it a mix of all of the above?
It's a mix of all of the above, because I think you read my intro and it says that I'm both a consultant and a coach. Well, there's a distinction between the two, even though they're interrelated. As a consultant, I will go in and work with individuals, teams, and organizations. And usually I come in with a level of expertise that they don't have in the organization. So my clients could be teams, it could be groups. As a matter of fact, I work with teams quite a bit. As a coach, I'm called in to work with people one-on-one. I could be working with one person, two people at the same time, but it's still face-to-face most of the time, and it's one-on-one. That's coaching. My coaching is that I'm not coming in with a technical or a functional expertise, but I'm coming in with a relationship expertise in order to help them, and a human behavior expertise to help them to uncover their blind spot and to solve their own problems. I'm just there as a guide and a coach, but they own the problem and they solve it. So my clients can be both individuals, one-on-one, or it could be teams, or it could be a department, or it could be a division. They could run the gamut. It depends on what they need from me.
That is fantastic. What do you think distinguishes consulting from coaching in this particular context, Carol?
Thank you. Good question. The main difference is that I'm coming in with an expertise that they don't have inherent in their organization. That's the difference. That's consulting. But as a coach, I am coming in to help them to identify and solve their own problem. I'm just there to guide and help them. Another distinction is that as a consultant, the client has limited commitment to implement the solutions that I come up with. Whereas as a coach, I am there to maximize the client's commitment to implement the solutions. Another distinction is that as a consultant, I'm there to provide that information that's missing for them. My job is to come in and to identify any issues that they may not see, to uncover their blind spots, and to come up with information and solutions to help them to solve their problem. Whereas coaching, I am there to promote self-discovery. coaching is because you're working one-on-one, you can go deeper. They're to promote their own self-discovery and then solve their own problem. They totally have responsibility for implementing those solutions, whereas as a consultant, I am responsible for implementing their solutions. So those are the major distinct differences between consulting and coaching.
So you really get the bird's eye view, but you're also in the trenches too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The bird's eye view is usually when I'm called in by a senior executive that says, Carl, we need your help. This is going on. That is going on. These are the issues, and they describe the symptoms. And it could require that I go down into the trenches at all organizational levels, I would say to the boardroom, to the platform, in manufacturing environments, and work with whatever level of managers or employees that are needed by me. So, yes, I get a bird's eye view. And so I look from the top down, and I work from the top down, and I work at whatever level is needed. Usually I'm in middle management because they get the pressure from the top and the bottom. And then usually I go in and I help people who are in the middle to manage the change, to manage the organization, to manage whatever human issues are being taken place in the organization. So, yes, it's a nice bird's eye view, and it's very, very gratifying to take a holistic human systems approach to the solutions that I bring. See, I see organizations and people or groups of people as human systems. So I'm a systems thinker anyway. So when I go in, I look at it as a system. And as a system, all of the parts of the organization are looked at, examined. And when you change one part of the system, you have to go back and assess the other systems because the change to one part will automatically impact the other parts. So it's a matter of balance in the organization and making sure they stay on balance. So that's what I do. Yeah, it's a systemic systems approach to my solutions.
Change can mean really anything. As I was saying, it can be unpredictable. You just never know. What kind of change do these organizations, do you feel, Carol, need to really undergo? Or are they already going through it and they need your help? Maybe they've tried a million different things on their own, and now they're at their wits' end, and it's time to bring in Carol.
Yeah, so but first let me say this. When you look at organizations as a system, or even families as a system, or any group of people who are there for the same, hopefully for the same goals, the same aspirations, and they need each other to get it done. So when you look at it systemically, yes, when I come in, I have to work with them, and I have to work with them to work together and to see the system as an organization. So I get the bird's eye view, and I also help them to bring to bear the solutions that are great for each one of them. Now, what I have to do is bring community and peace, especially in change, because change often brings disruption, chaos, confusion, and conflict. So the kinds of change, in answer to your question, that was just a preface. In answer to your question, what kinds of changes do organizations go through? It could be a change in the ways of doing business. It could be a change in policies or procedures. It could be change in a leadership structure. It could be any change that can throw people because it takes them out of their comfort zone and it takes them out of the things that they're familiar with, and now they have to go through a change of doing things a different way, working with different people. And it throws people. It really does. It really does. It throws people. So it could be any of these changes. It could be, and usually it's triggered by mergers, acquisitions, any restructuring that takes place in the organization. It could be a promotion. A person can be promoted from one level to the other, and that's change for them because now they have to learn how to work in an entirely different way than the way they worked previously. So those are some examples of the different types of changes that organizations are going through these days.
A lot, yeah, a lot of change, a lot of evolution, a lot of merger, a lot of different things happening. Most people don't have leadership skills, even if they find themselves in leadership positions, right? Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. I like to say people are promoted based on potential. They are rewarded based on performance, but they are promoted based on potential. And so they are promoted based on their technical, functional, system skills, and rightfully so. They deserve it. But when they get to the next level, they're not necessarily prepared as a leader to really lead people, because leadership is different from management. In a lot of instances, people are used to managing, but they're not used to leading. And it's an entirely different skill set.
It sure is, absolutely. What are the qualities of a strong, effective leader, Carol?
A strong, effective, I like to develop masterful leaders. A strong, effective leader is balanced in their approach, in their style. They know when to dial it up. They know when to dial it down. In a lot of instances, some managers have a style and they're not flexible. They're not adaptable. Your style has to change sometimes with each individual. Your style has to change sometimes with each situation. And they don't always flex those styles. They have one way of doing things, and that's the way they go. And that is a downfall for them. Another thing that makes a great masterful leader is that they understand human performance. They understand human nature. They understand how people operate. They understand the human mind. They understand how change affects people. Also, they understand organizations as systems, and they have to be taught that. They have to really have a different paradigm of the way they lead people. And so masterful leaders who are astute at this are very, very distinguished, and they stand out from the rest of the crowd. They really do.
So, you know, sometimes we're all on hamster wheels or even like a treadmill. If you give someone a chance to step off for a second and then get on something else, those shifts happen naturally. You adjust, and you have no choice to, right?
No, they don't always happen naturally. No, they don't. That's the problem. That's what gets people in trouble. Those shifts don't happen naturally. This is why people sometimes need to be coached and guided to make those natural shifts. What people will do is to go back to the way they used, go back to the familiar, their comfort zone. They'll go back to what they're used to. Rather than embrace the change and move forward, they'll go back. They're at one level now, and they're still operating in a level below where they're supposed to be. So when you get off you step off the wheel, what they do is that's the reason they step off, because they see that the hamster wheel is too difficult, and they go back to their comfort zone. That's human nature. It really is. So you have to push against the grain. They have to maybe go against the trend and go against their natural tendency to what they're used to doing. But this is where behavior change and paradigm shifts have to take place. Blind spots have to be uncovered. And this is why I am called upon to go in and work with people who are going through that kind of change. So, no, they don't always embrace it. That's my way of putting it. They don't always embrace it. They'll fight it, and they will resist it.
It's all about, I guess, viewing everyone as a part of a system, and systems-based thinking is really important. Is there still room for that sort of emotional intelligence component?
Absolutely. I was saying earlier that as a systems thinker, that's how I work with my clients. I work with them as systems. So emotional intelligence is a big part of that, of course. EQ is very important these days. You'll probably see it in a lot of literature, EI or EQ. You can have high IQ and low EQ, and when it comes to leading people, you may not be successful. But if you have emotional intelligence and you're leading people through change especially, you're well on your way to becoming a very effective leader. Because if you can't manage your own emotions, you can't influence the emotions and behaviors of others. So in answer to your previous question, what makes a masterful or an effective leader? In addition to the things that I just highlighted, another one is emotional intelligence. It's critical to the success of an effective leader, these days especially. These trying times that we're going through, emotional intelligence is key. It's very key. I like to quote Thomas Paine, who said, "These are the times that try men's souls." And I find that in this country and in organizations, in corporate America, wherever you go, the public sector or the private sector, that is a very timely quote because people are going through change, and these are the times that are trying men's souls. And the greatest gift or the greatest skill set or the greatest characteristic or the greatest trait, whatever you want to call it, is to have emotional intelligence. I have specifically worked on that for myself because in order to influence others, I need to first be in control of myself. So emotional intelligence is key, it's critical, and it is a necessary component of effective leadership.
Let's talk about a little bit more about how you ended up doing this work, if we can. A little bit more about the background. I know you talked about the inspiration, the empowerment that guided you, but let's talk a little bit more about some of the actual nuts and bolts of how you ended up doing this work, Carol.
That's a good question. Thank you. I started my journey, and I like to tell people I was about 8 years old because, no, that's a joke. I started my journey in corporate America, and I got some of the most extensive, brilliant training that a person could get in training and coaching and development. So I've worked all aspects of this. And one of the most critical training that I received was inside out. In other words, I had to look at myself. I had to look at my own emotional intelligence. I had to do all of those things because in order to work with people, I needed to know myself. So my blind spots had to be uncovered. My personal motivations had to be uncovered. My own inhibitions had to be uncovered. I needed to know what's inside of me that someone else can trigger, and I have to be in control of that. In other words, physician, heal thyself. So I had to go through a process of inner transformation in order to be good at what I do, and I got that kind of training. I've gotten retraining from some of the most highest and most acclaimed thought leaders in the country, including someone like a Stephen Covey. I was trained by his senior staff in order to do what I did for that company. So it's a number of highly acclaimed, internationally acclaimed companies and organizations out there that I was certified in through to do the training and the coaching that I do. So it has been a long journey. It has been a gratifying journey. And I am also certified as an executive coach. So for everything that I've done, I have had extensive training in what I do. This has prepared me to do this work.
Which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The grace and wisdom are things that people can learn, of course. You can develop your emotional intelligence. Our EQ can always get higher, right?
Yes, it can. Of course. Yes, of course. But you said grace and wisdom, and I like those words because that's a part of, I'm not speaking religion now, I'm speaking spirituality. And one of the things from Distinct Solutions that I like to say that I do is that I bring spiritual principles into a practical world because grace and wisdom will help us to really get to where we want to go in these trying times. It really will. And so I have had the opportunity and the privilege of going through the type of training and preparation that has helped me to work with grace and wisdom. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, let's dive into the book if we can. When was that released?
The book was released in 2000. The beginning of this year, 2017, it was released. It is an anthology and of different writings from different authors. And I wanted to feature a chapter in there on change. And so I titled it Change, the Beauty of the Beast, How to Leverage Change to Rise to the Top. And the reason I wanted to talk about that, because in my experience with my clients over the last three decades, I find that people who embrace change see it as an opportunity versus a threat. And once that paradigm shift has taken place, the behavior automatically follows it. Whereas if people perceive change as a threat, they'll resist it. They'll resist it for all it's worth. So that's when the book was published. That's when the chapter is featured in the book. And I wanted to talk to people both in their personal lives as well as in their professional lives, how to perceive change and how to leverage it. And the value in perceiving it as an opportunity, the opportunity of the ability to see opportunity in adversity rather than the problem. And that's the main reason people get stuck and allow the change to take them under and allow the change to control their lives rather than the opposite. And so I work with people both personally and professionally to help them to get through that and to help them to see the opportunity versus the threat.
And the book is Outstanding Results Out of the Box and Into the Business of Life. And again, your chapter is entitled Change, the Beauty or the Beast, How to Leverage Change to Rise to the Top. That's a sounds like a fascinating and very thought-provoking chapter. If change is inevitable, Carol, then the only solution, would you say, is it to be proactive?
Yes. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen, whether we like it or not. So if there is something that's going to happen anyway and we can't control it, why not embrace it? Why not be flexible? Why not be resilient? Why not be, as you said, proactive? Yes, being proactive. Now, proactivity, Stephen Covey taught me what proactivity really means. And proactivity really means that you look in the face of conflict, you look in the face of chaos, confusion, problems, whatever you perceive as a threat, and you embrace it anyway. Because courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is looking at the problem and massively and courageously challenging it and embracing it and breaking through it. That's breakthrough thinking. And so, yes, what I would like people to remember is that whenever you're challenged with anything, you have to see the opportunity in it versus the adversity. And when you do that, you will grow. That's where growth takes place. Growth is never comfortable. There's no comfort zone in growth. And so you have to come out of your comfort zone, be resilient, and you'll come out on the other end a much better person, more achieved, more successful, and more satisfied.
Do you have some success story, a quick one you can share with us? We have, believe it or not, it's a minute and a half left.
Mm-hmm.
The show went fast.
Sure did. A success story,
yeah.
With one of my clients?
Yeah.
Well, I remember going through, because I work across industries. A few years ago, a senior executive of a healthcare institution called and said, "We're going through a massive change, Carol." They were merging three hospitals. And based on this merger, of course, some people were laid off. There were different reporting relationships. All of the things I said to you earlier, the kinds of things that can take place, the kinds of changes that can take place in an organization. And there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of resistance. There was a lot of chaos. And so they called me in to put together a series of change initiatives for them. It took about 3 months. And I worked with the people. I worked with from the top down, based on what we talked about previously. And as a result of those 3 months, they have a customer satisfaction index that they get on a regular basis. Their patients, of course. And that satisfaction index increased 20%, positively, of course. So that was a very, very success story that I'll never forget, and it was very gratifying to help them to get through it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Great way to wrap up the show, too, with that success story. For more information, folks, go to Distinct Solutions. The website is www.distinctsolutionsctc.com. Our very special guest, Carol Kelly. Carol, thanks for joining us on the show. It was a pleasure, and hope we chat again real soon for more.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me. Okay.
You are very welcome. This is Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us as well here on CU TV News Radio. For all of us here, we appreciate your listening. Have a great day.